You ever have one of those days when you think, I can't keep up? I'm having one today, so pray for me. let's start our morning service with a couple of announcements. Continue to pray for Pastor and Nan. They'll be coming back on Thursday, coming back to some chilly weather compared to what they've had in Chile. So I'm sure they'll be glad to get back home, but to also miss the time that they've spent with family down there and seeing the new work that David's beginning. Don't know of any other pertinent announcements I need to make. I guess one would be Harley has said to Wendy that they've gotten some improvement with their health, so continue to pray for them. And it was a rough time there for a little bit with both of them being sick, but Lord provides, and he gives us the strength to carry on through the day. Let's start our service by singing hymn number 109, Great is Thy Faithfulness, O God my Father. 109 in the book if you need it, otherwise it's in the PowerPoint. Stand with me if you would, and we'll sing together. Faithful to us every day. Are we faithful to him? Maybe we need to work on that this year. So you may be seated.
Turn with me in your Bible this morning to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. I'm going to read the whole chapter this morning. Finally, my brothers, Rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you is no trouble to me and is safe for you. Look out for the dogs. Look out for the evildoers. Look out for those who mutilate the flesh. For we are the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. Though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also. If anyone else thinks that he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own, but that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any reason possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that to you also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. Brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many of whom I have told you now and will tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction, their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame, with minds set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we wait for the Savior, Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body, by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. Let us pray. This morning as we go to prayer, I'd ask the church to remember my father-in-law. My wife was down visiting with her dad this week. They have basically said there's nothing left to be done. He's 89 years old and his body is shutting down. It could be imminent, or it could be sometime. There's really no way to tell. You'll have to appreciate, I've known this man for about 50 years, and he's just a little bit on the contrary side. And so, I don't have any way of knowing, you know, whether he's gonna cooperate or not. But he knows the Lord. He's ready to meet him. And I'm glad that my wife had the opportunity to go down and be there. We should pray for Pastor, too, that the Lord would give them traveling mercies, and for others of our missionary family around the world. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus. We thank you for the privilege we have of being in your house this morning on the first Sunday of a new year. Lord, we are grateful to be here, to be alive, and to be able to be in your house to hear your word. We want to hear from your word. We want to hear what you have to say for us. We want to be mindful of what you tell us. Lord, there are some among us that have needs. Lord, I pray for Pastor and Nan as they travel back on Thursday of this week. Thank you that they have had the opportunity of being in Chile for the past several weeks with his son and their family. Be with them as they journey back. Lord, I pray for my father-in-law during these last days, as it were, of his journey. Lord, there are others in the assembly that have special needs. Lord, you know what those needs are. I pray for our missionary family, the Sandals in Germany, the Perrys in Chile, the Straubs in Zambia, the Harmons in Uruguay. Lord, each of these families have needs, and I pray that you would be pleased to protect them and to be with them and to care for them. Thank you for their faithful service to you. Thank you that we can have a part in helping them carry out their ministry. Lord, I pray now as we look into your word that you'd give us open hearts and open ears. Give us ears to hear what you have for us this morning. Be with us now, Lord, as we continue the service, and then as we go in and take communion together. Lord, what a wonderful way to start off a new year. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Next hymn is hymn number 101, All the Way My Savior Leads Me. love divine, all loves excelling, 126. Verse for the first month, it's James 1:12. James 1:12. Let's say the reference and then the verse together and then the reference again, all right? James 1:12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to those that love him. James 1:12. Listen as the choir does one more Christmas cantata song, A Star, one of them that we liked, and hopefully you will enjoy it as well.
Star rising in the east.
135, focusing these last few songs on the communion service this morning. Lost in the darkness, I stumbled alone before I loved him. Hymn number 135, if you need the book. Should be the hymn that I want to use next is Jesus at Your Holy Table. If you do not have a copy, John Ewan has a copy if you just want to raise your hand. All right, looks like everybody does. If you'd stand with me, if you're able, stand with me, and we're going to sing these three verses together. Jesus at Your Holy Table.
Jesus at Your holy table, may our hearts united be. Bind us with Your grace and presence that redeem. Set us free, crucified, Lord and patron, light the path on which we us how to love each other in the way that you have taught. Christ, remind us of your passion, of your breath. Love which none can fathom, and our victory evermore. Bread of heaven, vine of promise, nourish us with your strong presence, risen Savior, holy Lord. raise your voices, celebrate this wondrous love. And with saints who live above, silent lips now sing with gladness, blinded eyes are filled with sight. Jesus' love has pierced our darkness, but come to peace and light.
Thank you. You may be seated. Before Jeff comes back and brings the Word of God to us, I'd like to sing the song, Embrace the Cross.
I am crucified with Christ, therefore I no longer live. Jesus Christ now lives in me. I am crucified with Christ, therefore I no longer live. Jesus Christ now lives in me. I am crucified with Christ, therefore I no longer live. Jesus Christ now lives in me. I am crucified with Christ, therefore I no longer live. Jesus Christ now lives in me. Embrace the cross where Jesus suffered, though it will cost all you claim as yours. Your sacrifice will seem small beside the treasure. Eternity can't measure what Jesus holds in store. Embrace the love the cross requires. Cling to the one whose heart knew every pain. Receive from Jesus fountains of compassion. Only he can fashion your heart to move as his. Oh, wondrous cross, our desire rests in you. O Lord Jesus, make us bolder to face with our courage the shame and disgrace you bore upon your shoulders. Embrace the life that comes from dying. Come trace the steps the Savior walked for you. An empty tomb concludes Golgotha's sorrow, endures then till tomorrow your cross of suffering. Embrace the cross, embrace the cross of Jesus.
Church at this time.
Amen. Thank you, Steve. Crucified with Christ. a great text, a great thought, a great challenge. It's my privilege to preach the first Sunday of the new year. I always enjoyed, when I was in pastoral ministry, preaching on special days. The Sunday before Christmas, the first Sunday of the new year, Easter Sunday, Thanksgiving, just different times of the year that would usually call for a deviation from whatever sermon series I was in, that I felt like it was time to give a special sermon, a unique sermon, a one-off sermon, if you will. Now, I don't do a whole lot of advanced sermon work anymore. The days of filling the pulpit is getting less frequent. The opportunities of, I've done some pulpit supply, I've done some interim pastoral work, but all of those things, you know, sort of have come to an end. I reached a new personal best on November 26th of last year. I turned 68. That's a new personal best for me. I've never been 68 before. Now, I'm not quite where Dave Anderson is, or Brother Douglas. So I've got a ways to go. My father-in-law turned 89 a few days before Christmas. I've got a long way to go to catch that, and I'm not sure I'll do it. My father died when he was 50. Now, my son and wife don't like me to hear me say this, but I never really expected to live. My father died when he was 50. Now, my uncle, his brother, who turned 94 recently, tells me that my grandfather died at 69. So I don't know. My grandmother lived into her 90s. So I don't know. You know, I don't know when I'm going to die. Thankfully. Hopefully it won't be in the next half hour. If I do, say some nice things about me. We stand at the threshold of a new year. And I want to look at a few ideas drawn out of Philippians chapter 3 and talk about pressing toward the prize. I don't know, do you make New Year's resolutions? I thought of one that I might try to live by. Still alive in 25. Ever ready to preach, pray, or die. Does that work? For me, I didn't expect it. For me, I have another opportunity to preach God's word. And I don't know how, you know, I don't know when my last sermon will be. I don't know. But I want to be faithful to the end. I want to finish well. I want to enter into the joy of the Lord and hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Enter into the joy of the Lord. Somehow I think that was Paul's ambition as well. Paul pressed toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I want to talk about four things out of this text. that will help us in 2025 to press toward the prize. Number one, confidence must be placed in God and not in the flesh. Number two, personal commitment requires continuous effort. Number three, Christians need a heavenly goal to keep moving forward. And number four, an eternal perspective keeps life in balance. Four simple truths that I think come out of this text and will help us as we move forward in 2025 to live a life for the Lord. Let's begin. We read in Philippians chapter 3, we read the whole chapter, but it's interesting when you look at the third chapter and you read what Paul says here. He says in verse 2, watch out for dogs. He's not talking about the four-legged kind. He's talking about the two-legged kind. And then he says, put no confidence in the flesh. Though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks that he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. And Paul tells us about his accomplishments. As we move into 2025, we need to remember that God is our goal and eternity is our home. Our confidence needs to be placed in God and not in ourselves. Now there are two ideas about that. Number one, past failures need not hinder future successes. Did you do some things wrong in 24? How many of you didn't do anything wrong in 2024? Okay, let me be more simple. How many of you didn't sin in 2024? Raise your hand. Mike, aren't you a deacon in this church? How come your hand's not raised? Dave, you know the reality is, we've all had some things that have happened to us that we wish we had done otherwise. Spoken too harshly. Not spoken when we should, spoken when we shouldn't. We've all had failures. And if we look back at those failures, they might discourage us from moving forward. Why should I try? I just fail every time I try. Past failures need not hinder future successes. Just because you blew it yesterday doesn't mean you'll blow it today. Paul said, I'm not going to put any confidence in the flesh. The flesh is weak. The flesh will fail you. Our confidence needs to be in God.
It's a simple truth. You know, you read through the story of the Bible. Boy, there's a lot of negative stories in the Bible. David! You know, he was the sweet psalmist of Israel. And he had his issues. Abraham, the father of nations. But he had his issues. Peter, the great preacher of the day of Pentecost, had his problems. The blessing is, I mean, take Peter for an example. Peter preached his sermon on, Peter preached powerfully after he had denied the Lord. Past failures don't need to hinder future successes. God can forgive and restore and renew so that we can move forward keeping our eye on the prize. The second point here is just as important as the first. Past victories don't guarantee future success. Oh man, look at me. Whoo, did I do a good job last year? I got it made in the shade. I did such a great job last year. I'm just going to put my feet up and relax and take it easy. The Bible says, let him that thinketh he standeth, take heed, lest he fall. Just because you were successful yesterday doesn't mean you'll necessarily be successful today unless you and I are vigilant. Don't put your confidence in your flesh. Paul says, you know, if anybody could, I could. And then he gives us his pedigree. Circumcised, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, a Pharisee. I mean, Paul had quite a pedigree. But that's not what made Paul the man that he was. It was because of what Jesus Christ had done in his life. And he pressed toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul pressed forward and didn't put confidence in his flesh. Beloved, I don't know what kind of year we're going to have in 2025. But it won't be because of what we are in the flesh. There were some very well-known people that failed. Christians that failed in 2024. Their notoriety didn't guarantee their success because the flesh is not what causes us to succeed. Confidence must be placed in God and not in the flesh. As we go forward this year, we need to trust the Lord. We need to look to the Lord. We need to keep our eyes on the Lord. We need to pursue the Lord and do what He teaches us to do in His Word. The arm of the flesh will fail us, we dare not trust our own. Number one, confidence must be placed in God and not in the flesh. Number two, personal commitment requires continuous effort. Now, did you see where Tiger Woods' son got his first hole-in-one here recently? I forget, they said how many holes in one Tiger Woods has. It's a bunch, 23 or something like that. And his son got his first hole-in-one here in recent days. Pastor's had several. Pastor loves golf so much, he's down in Chile playing golf on the sand. I mean, he put pictures up on Facebook, and they're on the green. That's the brownest looking green I've ever seen. You know, playing golf on sand just doesn't really appeal to me. But if you're an avid golfer, if you're committed to the sport, you'll play golf wherever you can and whenever you can. And the reason Tiger Woods became the number one golfer in the world a few years back is because he worked at it. We don't become good Christians casually. We don't become good Christians by accident. We become good Christians with effort. Paul pursued. He chased after. He pressed toward the mark. Paul put effort into it. He saw what he wanted, and he pushed toward it. Effort. If we're ever going to become good at living the Christian life, it'll be because we put effort into it. And this active idea is both urgent and immediate. It doesn't mean, tomorrow. I'll get it tomorrow. How many of you husbands have said that to your wife? Your wife says, honey, will you do this? I'll do it tomorrow. Tomorrow. Mañana. Tomorrow. Like, what's your hurry? Tomorrow. Do it now. Do it right away. Do it today. This is urgent. The need is immediate. We've got to get with it and keep doing it and doing it and doing it and doing it and doing it. Paul pressed toward the mark regularly, daily, repeatedly. There are some things in the Christian life that just don't come easy. Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 6:11 to pursue righteousness. Pursue righteousness. The believers were exhorted by Paul in Romans 14 to pursue peace. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14 to pursue love. And he said in 1 Thessalonians 5 to pursue what is good. To pursue these things. To chase after them. To be intentional. to be diligent and disciplined and put energy into it. We become better Christians on purpose. You won't become a better Christian in 2025 than you were in 2024 by accident. It's not coming here and listening to Pastor Flink or whoever happens to be preaching on a given Sunday and all of a sudden you get a magic touch from heaven. Wow, that's the best sermon I ever heard. Man, I'm going to go and it may help. But you know the funny thing about sermons? You need another one next Sunday. And another one the following Sunday. And another one the following Sunday. I'm sorry to tell you, but this sermon won't last you through the rest of the year. If you're hoping that this sermon today will give you what you need for 2025, I'm just not that good. You said, amen to that. I read my Bible this morning. Well, I don't need to read my Bible the rest of the year because I read it today. I kissed my wife this morning. She's good for the rest of the year. You know, some things just have to be worked on. Over and over and over and over again. We need to pursue certain things. Number two, personal commitment requires continuous effort. You want to have a good 2025? Put some effort into it. Put your shoulder into it. Work at it. Number three, Christians need a heavenly goal to keep moving forward. Now, we're almost at the point where younger people don't know what plowing with a mule is all about. Unless you watch some TV show about older times. But whether you're plowing with a mule or driving a tractor with a planter on it, the goal, you know, now tractors today have GPSs on them. And so a guy can get in the cab of his tractor and program his GPS and he can watch television for 3 hours while the tractor does all the work. Somebody out here who's into farming says, you don't know what you're talking about. They can only do that for 2 hours. Okay, I admit, I'm not a farmer. But I do know that farming is quite a bit different these days than it was a few years ago. If you want the road to be nice and straight, you gotta keep your eye on the goal. You gotta know where you're going. And for Christians, where are we going? We have a heavenly goal. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. That's my goal. My goal is to keep my eyes on Christ. And without a heavenly goal, we will not succeed. And that's part of the reason why some Christians never go anywhere. Because they don't know where they're going. Hey, honey, let's go for a drive today. Well, where are we going to go? I don't know. Wherever the car takes us. We like to drive up to Taylor Falls. I get my GPS out and I program it in and we follow the directions. We have a goal in mind. We follow the directions. I'm sorry, I started to hold up my Bible. This is my Bible. It doesn't look like much of a Bible. I have used an electronic Bible for quite a number of years. The thing I like about it is I have so many different translations on it, and I have so many different study helps on it. And, you know, the Word of God has existed in multiple forms over the years. I'm kind of glad we don't have parchment anymore. Can you imagine the job that the janitorial staff would have in trying to keep the church clean when people bring their parchments to church and the leaves all break apart? Parchment was leaves. And then they use leather scrolls. Today we use electronic Bibles. The point is, it's the Word of God. So whether you're using it in paper format or electronic format is incidental. Are you using it? Is there a plan for your life for 2025, and are you following it? Christians need a heavenly goal to keep moving forward. And number four, an eternal perspective keeps life in balance. The Apostle Paul, as he talks about what he's doing, he says, I press toward the goal for the prize, verse 14, of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those who are mature think this way. If in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. And then verse 20. Our citizenship is in heaven. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Our citizenship is in heaven. And from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus, who will transform our lowly body to be like His glorious body by the power that enables Him even to subject all things to Himself. Oh man, I'm looking forward to that day. Oh man. Transform our lowly body. I take so many chemicals. I got a prescription filled this week, $750. We'll be passing an offering plate around here to you. I went to see my regular doctor on Tuesday, I think, and I said, isn't there something else I can take? It's a blood thinner. You know, I have atrial fib, and one of the complications of atrial fib is blood clots. He said, yeah, you can take Coumadin. That's rat poison, in case you're wondering. You want to kill the rats in your house, you put the round rat poison, and they bleed to death. No, thank you. Okay, then take Xarelto. $750 later. You get old, you become a chemistry project. Oh, try this. Now maybe you're not old, and maybe you don't have these issues, and if you don't, praise the Lord. But it's just amazing. I'm looking forward to my body being transformed. Aren't you? Phil, no more back problem. And you won't be ugly anymore, Phil. Neither will I. No more problems. Won't that be a glorious time? Brother Douglas, you'll be able to hear better. I don't know if you look any better, but you'll be able to hear better. And Nate will have hair. God's going to change our body like to His glorious body. God is going to transform us. I don't know about you, but I am looking forward to that day. We've got to keep an eternal perspective to keep life in balance. Sure. In this world we'll have tribulation. Sure. People grow old. People get sick. People die. You know, it's a funny thing. The older I get, the fewer people that I know. One of my roommates in college passed away this year. We used to call ourselves the odd couple. You remember the old days of Jack Klugman and what was his name? Tony Curtis. And, you know, and one was neat and clean and the other was a slob. And I was the Felix in the duo and Oscar passed away. I mean, I've known the guy for over 50 years. Been a faithful pastor, serving the Lord. Lovely wife. And he went home to be with the Lord. And that's going to keep happening. My father-in-law is close. Folks, we might as well just recognize death is a part of life. And unless Jesus comes back, we're all going to meet the death angel. Let's keep eternity in view. God is still on the throne. He never forsakes His own. God is still on. 2025 can be a banner year for some of us. Can be a banner year for all of us. Now, if you go home to heaven, that'll be a really banner year. But if you and I have to live through 2025, let's remember that our confidence needs to be in God and not in the flesh. Let's remember that it takes effort, personal commitment to move forward. Let's remember that we have to keep an eternal perspective. God is our goal. And let's remember that if God is our goal and eternity is our hope, it'll keep our life in balance. I hope you have a good year this year. I'm thankful that I got to preach the first sermon of the new year. It's an opportunity for us to think about how we live this year. Let's press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. As the men prepare to come forward for communion, let's have a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus, and for the privilege we have of knowing Christ as Lord and Savior. Thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for this hour that we can be in your house. Thank you for the exemplar of Paul, who taught us, teaches us how to walk in this world. Lord, if there's someone here without Christ, work in that heart and draw that one to yourself. As we celebrate the communion table now, give us clean hands and a clean heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're going to have a song first? Okay.
Hymn number 260 for the closing hymn, Open for Me, should be on the screen as well. Open for Me. Would you stand with me as we sing? 260.
As we celebrate the Lord's table this morning, I'd like to read Isaiah 53 and meditate on what Christ suffered. This is a memorial service. We do show the Lord's death until he comes. And Isaiah talked about what the promised Messiah would have to suffer to pay for our sins. Who has believed what he has heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him like a young plant and like a root out of a dry ground. He had no form or majesty that when we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hid their faces, he was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. And yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, like a sheep that before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. As for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people? They made his grave with the wicked, and with a rich man in his death, although he had done no violence, and there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hands. Out of the anguish of his soul, he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors. This is no light thing that we celebrate today. It is no mere formality. It is no mere function of Christianity. It is the essence of our hope. We commemorate the death of Jesus Christ. For it is in his death that he met the demands of the law to pay for your sin and mine. You either could pay for them yourself, or a sinless substitute could pay for them for you. If you're here this morning and you're a Christian, you've trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you followed him in believer's baptism and are a member of a church of like faith, we would invite you to join us today in this celebration. This is not our table, but it's his table. This is his death that we celebrate. These are just elements to memorialize him. Bread and fruit of the vine, commemorating his broken body and his shed blood. They're just tokens. But they're tokens of a deep reality. The precious death of Jesus Christ, who purchased our salvation. I'm going to ask Brother Nate Sandall to lead us in prayer for the body, and then I'll read some scripture and we'll distribute the elements.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time when we can meet around this table and think about what you've done for us in dying on the cross for our sins, and the sacrifice you made for us. I pray that you would help us to remember throughout this year what you've done for us, and help us to teach others and help others to see that they need Jesus Christ as their Savior. We ask it in Jesus' name.
You can tell I don't do this very often. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Thank you, Lord. I'm going to ask Brother Barry Anderson to lead us in prayer for the cup.
Dear Father, thank you for this time that we've had to come here. Thank you for a new year where we can not focus so much on what we did bad the last year, but what we can do better for this year. Like Jeff said, let's not have this be our only service of the year that we show up for. Let us try to dedicate the whole year to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Hallelujah. What a Savior. It is our custom around here at communion time to circle up and sing, "Blessed be the tie that binds." So let's see if we can form a circle around the auditorium. Find someone's hand that you can hold, and we'll sing, "Blessed be the tie that binds," for our closing hymn. And then Mike Menard has a brief word before we leave.
The tie that binds our hearts in Christian love, the fellowship of kindred mind, is like to that above.
And all God's people said, Mike?
Y'all can go back to your seats for just a minute. We just have to approve the ballot 2 weeks ahead of the meeting. We've got it here. Can I have some help handing these out?